Pastor.
Well, good early morning. Thank you so much for coming out on a nice wet Sunday morning. A little rain that we desperately needed. Praise God for that. Today we continue in the book of Philippians. We're in chapter 4. Paul talks about peace in this and rejoicing because we have peace with the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Or if you have your digital device, please find that place, Philippians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 1. If there's anything we need today, it's for peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our world, peace with one another, and especially peace with God. So today as we read, we understand a little bit more about what Paul begins to talk about in finding peace and resolution with one another. Warren Wiersbe said it this way, says, real contentment must come from within. You and I cannot change or control the world around us, but we can change and control the world within us. Real peace. As believers, we have to navigate through this chaotic world where peace seems to be so far-fetched, where there's so much hatred, so much anger, so much confusion, so much evil and unrest and selfishness. How do we find peace as believers here? Because we are people too, trying to navigate through an evil world, evil society, and still maintain our peace with one another and maintain this peace within and peace with God. Always remember that peace is a fruit of the Spirit living within us. And Paul reminds the Philippians that they are to live in peace. Now, Paul addresses something in this letter. There was some dissension going on between two ladies in church. And he had to address it. And he wasn't even at the church. He was in jail or house arrest. But there was such a contentious situation between these two ladies that it got all the way to Paul. And he had to address it. Let's begin reading in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge you, Euodia, and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I believe he's talking to Luke here. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we look into your word, to realize that Paul had to address some situation in the Philippian church, people that he dearly loved and that supported him, and brothers and sisters that he loved so dearly, so closely. Father, makes us realize that even in the best of situations, even when we love the Lord with all of our hearts, all of our souls and our minds, sometimes we forget how to love one another. Teach us today, God, from your word, how to have peace and live and abide in the peace that you've given us. In Christ's name, amen. So there are three areas, basically, we need to address out of this passage of Scripture. And it's really finding peace with other people, peace within, and then peace with God. And Paul addresses these for us as a church to grow from. The first is peace with other people. Listen, that should be a priority somewhere in our life, is that we stay at peace with others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Those interpersonal relationships are very important. Why? Remember, God is a relationship God. One of the holdbacks, and we started all of the COVID-19, and we had to do everything through camera. It's just Pastor Brian, myself, and James and Troy in the booth. You know what really hurt us as a church? We didn't have that relationship, that closeness. We didn't get to see each other face to face, that interpersonal time. It was all through camera. And some people believe, well, that's the way the church is going. Lord, I hope not. Because we're made for personal relationships. God addresses that even through his Ten Commandments. He even said, you know, by sending Jesus, he wanted this relationship with us. Paul addresses this. In verse 1 through verse 3 says, therefore, my brothers whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord. He said, take a stand for something, guys. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Paul's not doubting these ladies' relationship with the Lord. He was not doubting their salvation. He was just addressing a problem. He was making note of an issue these two women had come at odds with each other in the church. Now, the Bible doesn't say what those things were. These two ladies were part of the core group of the church. They loved one another. They loved their church. They loved the Lord Jesus. But they were at odds. Let's use our imagination a little bit. I don't know. Maybe Euodia had four children who were kind of just rowdy. Maybe they ran up and down in the church and sent that she said something to her about her rowdy children. And Euodia didn't like it. And so she kind of snapped back. Mama Bear came out. We don't know. Maybe sent that she's husband was a Sunday school teacher, and he said something in class that was not really sound in doctrine, and Euodia's husband had to address him or confront him about it, and it started some hard feelings. We don't know. Maybe Euodia's potato salad was the same recipe as Syntyche's potato salad, and they argued about which was the best, and it just started from there. Maybe Syntyche's wanted red carpet in the church, and Euodia wanted gray carpet in the church, and it just started a clan war. We don't know. But it's likely it was not something that was theological or doctrine. It was something that was just relational. It was the common everyday things that we experience in church life that we sometimes may come at odds with each other about. It happens. Nearly 53 years and 9 months of going to church, 9 months with my mama. I've seen all sorts of things. And if you've been in church a while, you realize that we are a bunch of sinners trying to live this life for Christ, saved, born again, but we're still sinners. And we don't get it right sometimes. And sometimes there's just clashes. Sometimes it's just personalities. You remember the Hatfields and McCoys? You remember the story of the Hatfields and McCoys? One lived on the border in Kentucky and the other in West Virginia. Nobody remembers anything about them except they were a feuding clan of families. You know what the fight started over? A hog. A pig. An oinker. Cracklings and boudin. And it went for decades and decades and decades with many family members on both sides being killed. All began over a hog. That sounds sometimes like us. That even in God's house, even among Christians, we start some of the simplest disagreements and arguments and hard feelings and grudges for years and years and years over things that really just don't matter at all. Paul's saying, help these ladies out. No. These ladies' grudge was such a waste. Probably was active for a short time, for a good little while, I'm sorry. All the way to reach to Paul. I'm sure most of the men in the church probably didn't want anything to do with it. That's why Paul had to ask, believe it's Luke, when he says, my companion, to intervene. Because most of the men were like, I'm just let these ladies settle it out on their own. They didn't want anything to do with it. You imagine some of the things they may have said. Let's use some of our redneck terminology here. Man, she could start a fight in an empty house. Being so contentious. Maybe you Yodio was so contrary she floats upstream. You know, these guys probably had a lot of things to say about the situation between these two ladies, these dear saints of God, but the thing that they weren't doing was intervening. Paul says, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. Paul is recognizing these women were probably there with him when he started his evangelistic crusade, so to speak, in Philippi. And they were there. They were saved. They're born again. And they helped him. And when he planted the church, they were there the whole time. They meant a lot to him. Man, the church desperately needed peace. Paul is recognizing that the church needed peace. Relationship should be a priority. And everybody has a responsibility. Listen, when an argument starts out between you and another person or a disagreement, understand you have a responsibility in it, even though you feel that you did not start the argument. A relationship requires two people. A marriage requires two people. Both. Whether you believe it or not, it may have not happened on an instant, but things that you have done may have led up to an issue. Question comes to us. Do you have peace with other people this morning? Are there any of your relationships where you really have to admit you struggle to be at peace with another person? It could be a person in your church. It could be a person in your family. It could be a person that you work with. It could be a person that you go to school with that you really struggle to have this relationship with. Maybe like these ladies, you're at odds with someone that you worship here with. Do you really need to extend grace and forgiveness to someone who has hurt you? You may be the victim. Someone may have been ugly one day, got up on the wrong side of the bed and having issues in their own family, and they came by you and they just snapped at you. Maybe someone does need to apologize. Maybe someone has hurt you. Maybe you need to ask yourself, have I hurt someone else? See, you can't change other people's behavior, but you can change yours. You can't make someone else apologize to you, but you can apologize. You can step forward to heal a relationship. You can, even though you may have been the victim. Well, I'm not going to apologize till they apologize. That is childish. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Life is too short and too precious to waste on anger, to waste on resentment, frustration, and bitterness toward other people. See, as long as you hold on to unforgiveness, and the longer you hold on to it, the more tightly it holds on to you. Some of the most miserable Christians in the world, those who are still hanging on to grudges and unforgiveness about somebody that happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Christians! The gift of grace, listen, giving someone else grace oils a relationship and breaks down barriers to learn to love one another as Christ has commanded. Listen, if you are waiting for someone else to apologize first, you'll be waiting a long time. Do yourself a favor, forgive them anyway. Forgiveness is always a choice, not a feeling, a choice. Your feelings will eventually catch up with their choice. Set yourself free from the powerful hold of the actions and words of others, or maybe an attitude someone else has over you. Let's be honest, sometimes people don't even know they hurt you. You're holding on to something, they don't even know that they said something wrong or hurt you in a way that you felt so offended that you want to break a relationship with them. Sometimes they don't even know. And sometimes they do know, and they really just don't care. How do you forgive someone who don't care if they hurt you or not? You forgive them anyway. I've experienced that, and you probably have too. Someone said something or did something that hurt you, and you were waiting and wanting them to get it right. You wanted them to apologize and make amends. And years go by and nothing ever happens. Meanwhile, you're the one losing sleep. You're the one who's frustrated. You're the one who are crying. You're the one who's going through all the misery, and they're just living their life. Why wait on them to get back to living for you? Forgive them. Why? Because remember this, what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Peace with others begins with you. Allowing the Holy Spirit to give you a heart for change, a soft, broken heart, so that you can reach out to them beyond yourself to give them grace, the grace that God has given to you, that you become that conduit of grace to others. As long as you hold on to unforgiveness, you're nothing but a plug in the grace that God wants to give to other people. You're the stopper of smoothing out and healing relationships. The second area we see here, Paul's calling for some help in the church to help these two ladies heal their relationship. But we also must be aware that sometimes people don't heal relationship with others because they're so bitter within themselves. You'll only treat other people, and you'll only love other people like you love yourself and like you treat yourself. Verse 4 through verse 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God," oh listen, "the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The church at Philippi were facing persecution from their culture. So not only were they dealing with this contentious situation in the church between these two ladies and probably two families that spread around. She had her group and he had his. She had her group, and that was the situation. But also, the culture around them were persecuting them. Paul encouraged the believers to rejoice in the Lord, even during the middle of suffering, that they still had reason to rejoice. Why? Because rejoicing came from Christ, what Christ has done in their behalf. He has paid the debt of their sin that they committed. God gave them grace when he didn't have to. He gave them grace instead of justice. That's something worth rejoicing over. When I look across the church and I see empty chairs, and I turn in, I listen to some of my friends who are pastors, and I watch their services. I see empty chairs and I said, wow, there's a lot of ungrateful Christians who aren't rejoicing because Christ made a difference in their life. They're not rejoicing because Christ gave them grace instead of justice. See, rejoicing must flow from the soul of a believer who knows Christ. Notice that Paul stresses in these verses to believers. Verse 5 says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men." Why? Because the Lord is near. In other words, our attitude and our actions should be gentle, even when a world is going in chaos around us. Listen, America right now is in chaos and confusion and anger and frustration. The Bible says, rejoice. Why? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let your gentle spirit be known. See, a gentle spirit is really an outpouring of personal peace. Personal peace can be a way of life for us as believers because the Lord is with us. He's near. Man, when I look across this congregation, I look across this community, I look across this state, I look across the church in general, I look across this country, believers are struggling to live with inner personal peace. Struggling. Why? Well, there may be many reasons why. A variety of reasons why Christians are struggling to be at peace. When Jesus says, "My peace I give you." Why? Because every time we check our phones, every time we watch the news, man, the future seems pretty uncertain. Never more today than before. The future looks uncertain. I don't know what the next 4 years are going to look like. See, we see widespread corruption. We see people who are affected by COVID-19, the pandemic. Oh, I need you to pray for our general contractor who contracted our building. They're just about completed with it. He was taken to the hospital yesterday morning with COVID-19 and not doing very well at all. Pray for him. His name is John Hammond. You see, there's so much hatred around us, so much rioting and lying and crime and murder and immoral activities. We worry. We worry about our future. We worry about our world. We worry about the world we're leaving for our kids and grandkids. We worry about our health. We're about jobs and finances and friends and family and, yes, even our country. We're about our oil field. All those things related to it. Man, we're anxious about so many things. And often our peace is just given away. Because we live daily with this feeling and thoughts about what's going on. Man, that causes us to be anxious. That causes some stirring because sometimes we put our eyes on the world, we put our eyes on our situation rather than our eyes on God. But we also sometimes have this uneasy anxiousness and stirring inside of us. Because sometimes we just feel that we're not good enough. There are things we have done, things that we have said, things that we have pondered, that we're sorry about. We've repented, and yet we have not forgiven ourselves. So we carry this self-induced guilt, the self-induced shame, and feelings of low self-worth. Even though we've given our hearts to Christ, we believe what He says about us, we struggle within ourselves. Troubling forces on the outside and troubling stirrings on the inside. Man, that leaves us anxious and worried and feeling like we're very inept, just bumbling, clueless, and ineffective. We seem to emotionally beat ourselves up for our inadequacies and failures. Man, as a Christian, sometimes we put the hurdle up so high of perfection that we know that we can never get there. But listen, because Christ is here, that's what we strive for. But when we don't reach it, we're not to kick ourselves and say that we're no good, that we'll never be what God wants us to be. No, we get up and we keep on striving. See, we still base so much of our lives on personal performance rather than God's redeeming and transforming grace. God gave you grace, He gave me grace. God is not basing our relationship with Him on how well we perform. Praise God for that. He's not basing how much He loves us, how much He forgives us, on how much we do for Him. He's not based on our performance. Our relationship with Him is based on His grace toward us. His divine grace that we don't deserve. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Not a person in this world, not even Billy Graham, deserved the grace of God. Name your favorite preacher, and I'm going to tell you right now, he deserved nothing from God. But God showed favor to him. And God gave him grace, gave her grace. We must learn to forgive ourselves, to give ourselves grace when we fail. Yet we are to learn from our failures. How do we give ourselves grace? Well, we must learn not to tear ourselves down. Boy, there's someone. You know, the worst talker to me, I trash talk myself more than anybody ever has. And you do too. You look in the mirror and you'll think about all the things that you know that you've thought about, you pondered about, that you wanted, the motivations behind it. You know all the junk of you better than anybody except God. And it's easy to get ourselves down. So we're looking in the mirror and, you know, we're brushing our teeth and say, "You're supposed to be a Christian? Where did that come from?" We start having these thoughts of all the motivations that were ungodly, all the thoughts that we had that slipped in our mind and the temptations and everything. And it's like, "Oh, Lord, look at the mess I am." Man, we just beat ourselves up. We've got to learn not to tear ourselves down because God's grace forgives us. Listen, maybe when you mess up and you forget an important date or event, you get criticized by your boss for a mess up. Maybe you think something like this: "Man, I'm so stupid. I can't do anything right." Or do you think it's okay? "I'm doing the best that I can. I made a mistake, but I'll do better next time." Most of us would probably wallow in self-blame and self-defeating criticism of ourselves. Boy, we're all capable of doing that. Our natural instinct is to beat ourselves up when we've done something wrong. We put so much pressure on ourselves to have it all together, and when we don't, man, we start kicking ourselves. This pressure becomes negative self-talk and inept feelings when we make mistakes or fail. It's this time that we have to give ourselves grace. We're to give ourselves grace because God gives grace to us. You see, the grace that God pours down into us Christians, we're not to act like a cork or a plug to keep it from going anywhere else, but we are to allow that grace to fill us up so that it'll flow out of us. Why are there so many miserable Christians? And why are there so many broken relationships between Christians and other people? It's because they have stopped God's grace from coming into their own life. They're so miserable within themselves that they want to make other people miserable. And they do. Show me a Christian who can't keep good relationships, and I'll show you a Christian who's miserable within himself. They can't forgive themselves for things that they've done, and maybe they've never even talked about. They've never spoken anywhere about it. But boy, I tell you what, there are a lot of prune-faced Christians around. I've seen a lot in a lot of years. And sometimes I'm like, they call themselves a Christian? They're so bitter. They're so miserable. It's almost like they're borderline hate. But they hate themselves so badly that it just spews over to other people. They fail to give themselves grace. God's grace treats us with kindness and forgiveness and peace that we do not deserve. As judge, God could rightly punish us when we sin and deliberately do things we knew were wrong. But instead, through Christ, God chose to offer us forgiveness. And if God can forgive us of our sins, of our failures, of our shortcomings and mistakes and mess-ups, who are we not to forgive ourselves? Who are we not to forgive ourselves? If God can do that, perfect, sovereign God, creator of the universe, creator of us, who loves us more than anything, if he can do that for us, if he can forgive us and give us grace to move forward, who are we not to forgive ourselves? Are we somehow greater than God? "Oh, but Brother Kevin, you just don't know how bad I've messed up." God already knows how bad you've messed up. And he forgave you. Forgive yourself. How do we experience the relief of God's forgiveness? Verse 6 says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Maybe this morning you need to pray something like this, Christian. Lord, forgive me for neglecting your all-sufficient grace. God, the grace that you've given to me, Lord, I pray and receive it now. And God, I apply that grace that you've given to me to myself. God, nothing that's in me can forgive me, but God, you can. And Lord, I accept that and I forgive myself. God, I hold myself to the same standard as you do, the standard of grace. Lord, teach me how to live in grace. Grace with others and grace with myself. Lord, teach me to forgive myself. Because today, God, I choose to forgive me for my past. God, today I choose to forgive me for the mess ups and the relationships and the brokenness that I've caused. And God, let me live in the newness that you bring. Can that be our prayer today? Can we release ourselves from the pain of unforgiveness? Can we release ourselves from the shame and the guilt? Can we release ourselves the power of Jesus Christ from all the mess ups and failures? Maybe you've been burying yourself in so much of this junk that you don't know what it's like as a believer to live in peace because you keep beating yourself up. Maybe today is a first step for you. Says, Lord, I know that you love me and I know that you saved me. Give me peace. God, I accept your grace to apply to my own life. Not just the grace of salvation, but God, the grace to forgive me. And live in it. And live in it. Don't hold yourself to something that God's already forgiven you for. You go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. He says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. Wow. If God is saying, listen, Kevin, I don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah, but Lord, you remember back in 1990? I don't remember that. Yeah, but Lord, look, you remember back in 1980? Don't remember that one either. As far as the east is from the west, Scripture says, I remember your sins no more. Then why are you reminding yourself every day when God's grace of forgetfulness floods your soul? Listen, we can tell Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom. I am worthy in Jesus Christ to live this life that you've called me to. I'm worthy for something. I'm good for something. Listen, I'm tired of Christians beating themselves up. And they don't want to be active in their church. They don't want to do anything. They just want to come here, feel good message to pat them on the back. Listen, we got to get real with God and say, Lord, I've been carrying this junk around for 30 years, for 20 years, for 5 years. And Lord, today forgive me. And God, give me the grace. I forgive myself. Thank you. See, peace with yourself begins with Christ Jesus. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May the peace of God overwhelm you beyond your own comprehension. And the last point is this. Peace with God in Christ Jesus. See, verse 9 says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Peace with God is only found in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've played church. Maybe you've done this denomination and this denomination. But you know good and well in your own heart that if you died right now, heaven would not be your home. You know what's really amazing? I've never done a funeral and had to say this. Well, old brother so-and-so is roasting right now in hell. See, we've got this mentality that everybody dies and goes to heaven. And that's not biblical at all. The Bible doesn't teach that. We say, well, I'm not a bad person. God doesn't weigh whether you're good or bad. God weighs and sees whether you're in Christ or not. Are you in Jesus or not in Jesus? So I don't get that. God is a relationship God. Do you have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you're Baptist. I'm not asking if you're Assembly of God. I'm not asking you if you're Catholic. I'm not asking you any of that. I'm asking you, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, maybe this morning you don't have peace with God. And you know it. You have religious practices. You've been coming to church here for a little while, so all you've done is switch from one denominational religious practices to another denomination of religious practices. But you miss Jesus completely. See, peace with God is only found in a relationship with His Son, Jesus. If you've never repented of your sin and placed your faith in Him as Savior, listen, today's your day. Listen to what Romans 3, verse 23 says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. Me too. You. So we're all in the same boat. But Romans 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages, the payment of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God. Have you received God's gift of salvation in Jesus Christ? And you claimed it as your own. That you said, yes, Lord, what you did on Calvary's cross, I accept that in my behalf. Lord, I believe in you. See, Romans verse 10, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Do you have Jesus as your Savior today? Will you confess your sins to Him? He knows them already. All you're doing is admitting that they're wrong and agreeing with Him. What He says about your sins, you're agreeing. Yes, Lord, they're all there. That's it. God already knows them, and He's saying, I want to forgive you for them, and I want to bring you into my family so that you can have peace with my Father. Maybe today you're saying, listen, I really don't have peace with God because I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you need to pray something like this. Lord, God, I'm a sinner. I admit that. God, I confess that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. And 3 days later, you raised Him from the dead. I confess, I believe that. I don't know everything about it, but God, I believe what you say. God, today I accept in my own life what Jesus Christ did for me. I accept it as my own. God, I put on Jesus' righteousness because mine will never be anything. Come live in my heart, and I will live for you. I commit my life to you today, Jesus, to follow you. teach me to live this life that you've called me to. And I will follow you day by day to the very end. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for applying it to my life. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the relationship now that I have with Jesus. Thank you for taking me to heaven when I die. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Maybe this morning you prayed something like that. Maybe you prayed the words while I was there. You see, there's no certain magical prayer that you receive Christ. It's just you and God talking to one another. And he hears you because it's a prayer of salvation. Do you have peace with God today through his Son, Jesus Christ? Or today, would you accept him as your Savior? Maybe you did. Maybe you're going to pray right now as we close this message out. Maybe you want to come meet me here in the front and pray at this altar. Maybe you just want to fill out the green sheet. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior today. I want to be baptized. I want to follow through. See, Paul gives us some insight on the last things when we live for Christ. Verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, of good repute, if there's any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Oh, you see, now in a relationship with Christ, your mindset changes. Where it used to think about the things of the world, now Paul is encouraging, he says, listen, think about these things. Christians, we can apply that even to our own lives. Think about these things. When we begin to get anxious and we look around us and the world around us is causing us anxiety and we begin to worry, Paul says, no, think about these things. Whatever is lovely and honorable and excellent and true and trustworthy. Oh, Christian, today, do you have peace with other people? Maybe even here in the church. Do you have peace within yourself? Are you carrying that old burden around of junk that you've done? And oh, today, do you have peace with God? Let's pray together. Father God, today, we thank you. God, we thank you today that you've given us your grace. Grace that we did not deserve. Father, maybe there's a couple of Christians here today who are struggling. Maybe inside the church, maybe God, maybe there's someone who's struggling with relationships. We see the holidays coming, God. We know families sometimes can be disoriented and disgruntled and chaos going on. Father, I pray today for healing, restoration, and for peace. God, maybe there's some Christians here today who are just trying to live a life of perfection and they're beating themselves up because they don't get it right. Father, today I pray that you help them. Lord, maybe there's someone who's lost. And God, you're calling them to salvation. They respond with faith and repentance today. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.